hands, everybody, if you got what it takes. Cause I'm Curtis Blow, and I want you to know that these are the breaks.
You're listening to WGXC, Accra, 90.7 FM.
The legendary 1970s, early 1980s band Bush Tetras from New York City are back with founding members Cynthia Slay and Pat Place performing with R.B. Corbett from King Missile and Pussy Galore and Steve Shelley from Sonic Youth on a tour this summer that stops in Kingston on July 23rd at Tubby's. The show is at 8 p.m. July 23rd with the Bush Tetras, and you can find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by SunCommon, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Henning's Local Test Kitchen in Round Top, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to Forgotten Geek on WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra, Catskill, Hudson. Corey McCaslin halfway out the door on the way to a weekend festival after I record this. And at the last minute, I had a time-saving strange hair to run two classic radio programs involving dinosaurs because Jurassic World's out this weekend, I guess. To briefly editorialize, I only have time for the original and fall in the It's Okay camp for part three of the original trilogy. Anywho, we start with X-1's adaptation of L. Sprague de Camp's short story, A Gun for Dinosaur, originally broadcast on NBC on March 7th, 1956.
Countdown for blastoff. X-5, 4, 3, 2, X-1, fire. From the far horizons of the unknown come transcribed tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, presents
X-1.
Tonight's story, A Gun for Dinosaur, by L. Sprague de Camp.
Just whiskey, please. No soda.
Ice, Mr. Rivers?
Good heavens, no. I have been in America for some time, but not that long.
Well, to a fine dinosaur.
Well, now, just a moment, Mr. Seligman. I won't take you hunting late Mesozoic dinosaur.
Why not?
How much do you weigh, about 9 stone?
130 pounds.
Yeah, I thought so. It's not heavy enough.
But your advertisement. You said safaris arranged to any time period.
Well, I'll take you to any period in the Cenozoic. I'll get you a shot at any entelodont or even mammoth or mastodon. They have fine heads. But I'll jolly well not take you to the Jurassic or the Cretaceous. You're just too small.
But what's my weight got to do with it?
Look here, old boy. What did you think you were going to shoot those dinosaurs with?
Well, I...
Well, look over here in this case. That's my own gun, a Continental 600. That shoots a pair of Nitro Express cartridges the size of bananas. It's designed for knocking down elephant, not just wounding them, but knocking them base over apex.
Well, now, I've handled guns.
Huh? Look, I've been guiding hunting parties for over 20 years. But I've never known a man your size who could handle a 6-0-0. It knocks him over.
Well, people have killed elephant with lighter guns, even a 375.
Ah, yes, but consider an elephant weighs, well, let's say from 4 to 6 ton. You're planning to shoot reptiles weighing 2 to 3 times as much as an elephant. Now, I tell you, Mr. Seligman, I won't take anybody hunting dinosaur who can't handle a 6-0-0. Look, let's pour another drink and I'll tell you why. You see, I went into the partnership with the Raja about 5 years ago. I call him that because he's the hereditary monarch of Janpur. It means nothing, of course. We both wanted to do a bit of hunting again. And Africa's all played out. It's too civilized now. So when we heard of Professor Prohaska's time machine at Washington University, we caught the next plane to St. Louis. The foundation administering the machine had worked out an arrangement splitting the time between scientific parties and hunters who wanted to try their luck at prehistoric game. Hunters paid through the nose, of course, to support the project. Well, it was about our 5th safari that Courtney James showed up. He's what you chaps call a playboy, a big bloke, handsome in a way, florid, beginning to turn to fat. He was on his 4th wife. And when he showed up at the office with a blonde, I assumed that this was the 4th Mrs. James. But he left her in the outer office and corrected my assumption.
Bunny? Oh, no, she's not my wife. My wife is in Mexico, I think, getting a divorce. But Bunny here would like to go along.
I'm sorry. We don't take ladies, not to the late Mesozoic.
If she wants to go, she'll go. She skis and flies my airplane, so why shouldn't
there she... There are enough risks at 85 million B.C. without adding to them. I'm sorry, but it's against the firm's policy.
Now, look here. I'm paying you a lot of money. I'm entitled...
You can't hire me to do anything against my best judgment. Now, if that's how you feel, get another guide.
All right, all right. But let me tell you.
Oh, it ended with my telling him to get out of the office or I'd throw him out. And I was thinking sadly of all that lovely money that James would have paid me. When in came another side. An August Holzinger, a slim, bald chap with glasses.
Mr. Rivers, I don't want you to think I'm here under false pretenses. I'm really not much of an outdoorsman, and I'll probably be scared to death when I see a real dinosaur.
Well, most of us are frightened at first, but it doesn't do to speak of it.
Well, you see, I've always run a grocery store till my uncle died, and, well, I've got a great deal of money now.
Uh-huh.
And I'm building a new house. I'm engaged, you know, getting married, and, well, I'm determined to hang a dinosaur head over my fireplace or die in the attempt. A ceratopsian, I think. That's the one with the big horned head and the frill over the neck, isn't it?
Well, you want to think twice about that, you know. If you put a 7-foot triceratops head into a small living room, there's apt to be no room left for anything else.
I know it's ridiculous, but I'm determined to do something big for once. Since there's no more real big game hunting, I'm going to shoot a dinosaur and hang his head over my mantle. I'll never be happy otherwise.
The Raja and I decided to make it to the Middle Cretaceous. That's about 85 million years ago. It's the best period for dinosaur in Missouri. So we drove Holzinger into the country to let him try the 6-0-0.
It's rather heavy.
Look, you look out. There's quite a kick.
Well, couldn't you fire it prone?
Oh, not a gun that big. There's not enough give. You'd break your shoulder. All right. Take the safety off.
Like this?
Take my hand. I'll help you up.
Thank you. I think I better try something smaller.
Well, he took a fancy to my Manchester 70, chambered for a 375 Magnum cartridge. It's a little light for elephant, and very definitely light for dinosaur, but we were in a hurry. And then, of course, just before we were ready to trek, James showed up and apologized for insulting me. He'd had a run-in with the girl, and he wanted to go along. And so we were off on safari. You all ready, gentlemen?
Why, yes, I suppose so.
Mr. Holsinger, you've met my partner, the Raja of Janpur.
How do you do, sir?
How do you do?
Well, shall we get cracking? After you, Mr. Holsinger. Mr. James.
Oh, thank you.
Let's get going. All set.
Oh, yeah, slam the hatch and off we go.
What happens?
Nothing till the force field is built up. There she goes.
What happened to the lights?
Well, there's no current while we're in transition.
I don't feel well.
There's usually a touch of vertigo. I shouldn't worry about it.
Look, what do you shoot for? I mean, with dinosaur. What is the best shot?
Well, you don't try for his brain, you know. They don't have any. Well, to be exact, they have a little bump about the size of a tennis ball on the top of their spines. And you're not likely to hit it when it's embedded in a 6-foot skull.
Try for the heart. They have big hearts, over 100 pounds. An exploding shell in the heart will slow them down, at least.
Oh, I see.
Why do we have to go so far for game? Why couldn't we just go back 50 years and shoot lions in Africa?
Well, the machine won't work more recently than 100,000 years ago.
Why?
Well, look, I'm no four-dimensional expert on the subject, but it has something to do with what they call time paradox. You know, if people could go back to recent times, they might do something to affect history or kill their own grandfather, you know. And there's also some kind of taboo about sending people back to the same time again. Paradoxes. Mustn't have them.
What would happen?
I'm not sure, but the university isn't taking chances. They've got about a billion years to cover. They won't run out of eras. Hello? Here we go. Oh, cheers, eh? Well, that's done it. April 24th, 85 million years B.C., Now then, careful. Keep the safety on your gun. And don't shoot unless I give the word.
Why? Why should we have to wait for you?
Because I'm responsible for everything you do. Especially if something goes wrong. I say, Roger, open the door, will you? In this period, the time chamber materializes on top of a rocky rise. At the west, you see the arm of the Kansas Sea that reaches across Missouri and the big swamp where the sauropods live. To the east, the land slopes up to a plateau. It's good for ceratopsians. But the finest thing about the Cretaceous is the climate. It's balmy like the South Sea Islands and not so muggy as the Jurassic. Oh, we sent the time chamber back off and looked about. It was spring, with the dwarf magnolias in bloom all over. Down towards the Kansas Sea, cycads and willows grew, while the uplands were covered with screwpins and ginkgo. Yeah, well, I'm no ruddy poet, but I can appreciate a beautiful scene. Well, I was looking through the haze and sniffing the air.
I got him! I got him!
What the devil?
You see it? There it goes!
Confound it, you idiot! I told you not to shoot without word from me. And what happened?
An ornithomine wandered out of the copse. Mr. James gave him both barrels. Missed.
Now, look here, James. One of the biggest dangers on a safari is trigger-happy sahibs who get panicky. You're not to shoot unless you're told. You understand?
Who do you think you are to tell me when to shoot my own game?
Now, look here. Firstly, if you shoot off all your ammunition before the trip is over, your gun won't be available in case of a pinch. And secondly, if you empty both barrels, what would happen if a big theropod should charge before you could reload? And finally, it's not sporting to shoot everything in sight. Is that clear?
All right. All right.
Well, now then, first task is fresh meat. As I told you, Holsinger wanted a ceratopsian head. James insisted on a tyrannosaur. Then everybody would think that he'd shot the most dangerous game. Well, the fact is that tyrannosaur's overrated. But everybody's read about the tyrant lizard and, well, he does have the biggest head of the theropods. Oh, and he'll snap you up if he gets the chance, no fear. Well, we started off searching for meat. The Raja and I put the sahibs in front. Yeah, we tell them it's so that they'll get the first shot, which is true, but another reason is that they're always tripping and falling with their guns cocked, and if the guy were in front, he'd get shot.
Boneheads.
Where?
See? Crouching over there. Feeding on those cycads. He's about the size of a man.
They look intelligent.
Though not likely. That bulge on the head is solid bone. Now then, hold on there, James. You've had your shot for the day. Hold your fire until Holzinger shoots.
Yeah, sure, sure.
All right, go ahead, Mr. Holzinger.
Doesn't matter which one.
No, here. Try that one by the rock. There's a good clear shot. Well, take your safety off.
Oh.
Go ahead now.
Well?
Shh.
I'm nuts. I've had enough of this.
James, don't.
I got him clean right through the heart. First shot. How's that?
I thought you were going to give Holzinger the first crack. It's his turn.
Well, I waited. Took so long, I thought he'd gotten buck fever.
Very well. But if this sort of thing happens once more, we leave you at camp the next time we go out. The next couple of days, we trekked around the neighborhood and then headed over to the sauropod swamp, over to the west. We were staked out along the edge of the lake, watching a big beggar out in the swamp waving his head about. And they're the big ones. They look something like the brontosaur.
Can't we shoot him?
I wouldn't.
Why not?
Well, there's no point to it, and it's not sporting. Look, if you kill one in the water, he sinks and can't be recovered. And if you kill one on land, well, the only trophy is that little head on the top of that long neck. You can't bring that whole beast back because he weighs 30 tons or more.
That museum in New York got one.
Oh, yes. Well, they sent a party of 48 to the early Cretaceous with a 50-caliber machine gun. They spent two solid months hacking and sawing the carcass apart and hauling it to the time machine. I know the chap on the project, and he still has nightmares in which he smells decomposed dinosaur. And they also had to kill a dozen big sauropods who came in for the party. Then they had them lying around, too. They lost three men.
Reggie! Duck Bill!
Where are they?
Up there at the shoreline. Now, keep your voices down. You see? With the crest on the back of their heads.
Mr. Rivers, I've been thinking over what you said about those heads. If I could get one of those duck bills, I'd be satisfied. It'd look big enough over my mantle, wouldn't it?
I'm sure of it, old boy. Well, let's be off. Roger, you wait here with Mr. James. Shouldn't take us long. Holt and I crept along the shoreline, narrowing the range to the duckbills.
I think I can make the shot from here. I'll be ready in a minute. My shoe is loose.
He's getting away. I won't get a shot.
I'm afraid Mr. James has fired both barrels again.
James, that's the second time you spoiled my shots. I ought
Don't
to...
Don't be a fool. I couldn't let them wander into camp stamping everything flat.
There was no danger of that. You can see that the water is deep offshore. It's just that our trigger-happy Mr. James can't see any animal without shooting.
And if it did get close, all you have to do is to throw a stick of firewood at it. They're perfectly harmless.
Well, how was I to know?
I believe I mentioned it.
Well, what are we on this miserable trip for, except to shoot things?
There are certain rules, you know.
You call yourselves hunters. I'm the only one who is hitting anything.
Now, just a moment, old man. You're behaving like a confounded skite with more money than brains. I should never have brought you along.
Well, that's how you feel. Give me some food and I'll go back to the base by myself.
Now, don't be a bigger ass than you can help. That's quite impossible.
All right, I'll go alone. I wouldn't want to pollute your air with my presence.
Yeah, that's an attractive thought, Reggie, but we can't let him go. He'll get lost or starve. All right, I'll go after him.
We stumbled along for several more days. James on his good behavior for a change. And on the 1st of May, we broke camp and headed north to the hills. That was hot and sticky. We were soon panting and sweating like horses when I picked up the smell of carrion and heard the thrumming of the flies. We found a huge ceratopsian lying dead in a little hollow on the edge of the copse. He must have weighed 6 or 8 tons alive.
Why couldn't I have gotten him before he died? That would have made a darn fine head.
Look, on your toes, chaps. The sauropod that's been at this carcass is probably nearby.
How do you know?
You see how the hide's been ripped off and the bones are scattered? Sauropods will hang around a carcass like this for weeks, gorging and then sleeping their meals off for days at a time.
What do we do?
Well, that's what we came after. Look, Roger, you take Mr. James through that way, and we'll parallel you 40 feet distant. Now keep your eyes open. It'll be hard to see in these woods unless you're right on top of him. We pushed through the edge of the copse, looking for the huge flesh-eater who'd been at the carcass. I could hear James and the Rajah pushing ahead on my right. We were separated by a gully when I heard a noise ahead on our left.
What is it?
I don't know. Take the safety off your gun.
Oh, there it is. It's one of those boneheads.
Ah, well, they're not dangerous at any rate. But be careful. That sauropod might still be around here.
I've got him! Got him clean!
Well, he's done it again. He shot the bonehead.
I've got him! Look out! Look out! Titanosaur!
The Tyrannosaur heaved his head out of the shrubbery just in front of us. Look, the scientists can insist that Rex is bigger than Trionkes, but I'll swear that this Tyrannosaur was bigger than any Rex ever hatched. It must have stood 20 feet high and been 50 feet long. I could see its big, bright eye and 6-inch teeth. He'd been sleeping off his last meal, and James fired off both barrels over his head at the bonehead and woke the Tyrannosaur up.
Get back! Get back, you fool!
Gun's empty and Roger can't get a shot. Found it. There goes the beast in behind those ferns. Holtzinger! Holtzinger! Come back! Your gun's too light for that beggar! James came bolting back in a panic and blundered into the Roger, sending both of them sprawling under the ferns. The Tyrannosaur came after them to snap them up. Holtzinger began to blaze away. He got off 3 shots through the beast's body with that little light gun. Tyrannosaur whirled around to see what was stinging it. The jaws came open, and the head swung around and down again. Holtzinger got off 1 more shot and tried to leap to one side. The Tyrannosaur continued its lunge and caught him in its jaws as he fell.
Reggie! Reggie!
Stand clear!
Hart! Hart's the only chance!
It's no use! There he goes!
Try a long shot!
Ah, no, missed him clean. Poor Holtzinger.
Well, that's the end. You stopped screaming. Did you notice?
Oh, yes. Well, I expect we'd best track the beast. He might be dying. We should try to recover Holtzinger's remains.
Yes, there's nothing else to do.
No, nothing. It's a bad show all around. An hour later, we gave up and went back to the glade looking very dismal.
Where have you two been?
We were occupied. The late Mr. Holtzinger. Remember?
You shouldn't have gone off and left me. None of those things might have come along. Isn't it bad enough to lose 100 through your stupidity?
What?
Sure, you put us in front of you, so if anybody gets eaten, it's one of us. That's...
You stinking little swine. If you hadn't been a first-class idiot and blown those 2 barrels again, this never would have happened. Holtzinger died trying to save your worthless life. And I wish he'd failed.
Well, I ought to...
Now then, my lady buck, I'm glad you did that. It gives me a chance I've been waiting for. Now get up, and I'll be glad to finish off.
You won't finish anybody off. All right, put your hands up. Both of you.
Put that gun away. Don't be an idiot.
I won't let anybody do that to me.
You can't get away with murder.
Why not? Won't be much left of you after you're hit with a 600 explosive shell. Nobody could prove anything. They can't hold you for a murder 85 million years old. The statute of limitations, you know.
Nice work, Roger, old chap.
Yes. Cretaceous rock. Doesn't quite have the balance of a cricket ball, but it's a bit harder. What?
Well, suppose we tie this chap up and take him back to camp. When the time transition chamber finally arrived, we fell over one another getting into it. We dumped James in a corner and threw the switches.
You two should have killed me back there.
Why? You don't have a particularly good head.
You wouldn't look at all well over a mantle.
You can laugh, but I'll get you someday.
Close quarters, isn't it?
Someday I'll find a way. I'll find a way, and I'll get off scot-free, too.
My dear chap, if there was some way to do it, I'd have you charged with Holtzinger's murder. Look, you'd best let well enough alone.
No, no, I'll kill you. Both of you. Somehow.
Cigarette, Roger.
Thanks.
When we came out in the present, we handed him his empty gun, and off he went. We paid everybody off, found that we were broke. But quite luckily, a steel manufacturer turned up who wanted a mastodon head for his den. While we were standing in the laboratory at the university waiting for the time chamber, the technician, he's a bookish chap, a theoretical temporal physicist, was watching his dials and scopes.
By the way, Mr. Rivers, you just missed him.
Hmm? Missed who?
That last client of yours, Mr. James.
Well, that's good luck. What was he doing here?
Oh, he told me quite a tale. Said he'd lost his wallet back there. Said it contained some very valuable papers. Ah. It must have been valuable. He paid the university fee of $5,000 for the use of the chamber. He's on his way back there now.
Back where?
Well, he told me to send him back a few minutes before you arrived the last time. Then he could see himself drop the wallet.
He's going to stand there and watch himself come out? Yeah, but doesn't that create what you chaps call a paradox? What happens when a man tries to occupy the same time twice?
No, we don't know. It's never been tried before. Well, we tried to warn him, but he insisted.
Yes, I know. He's a headstrong chap. Still, you wouldn't think he'd chance it just for the sake of a wallet. Was he armed?
Yes. He had a 375 Express.
375? Well, that's odd. He knows it's too light for dinosaurs.
Yes, but not too light for a man. And say, Roger, you don't think Mr. James is lurking behind a bush back there until we show up again? And planning to pot us as we step out?
That's impossible. We already did step out of the chamber and nothing happened.
Yeah, but that was before Mr. James was waiting with an express rifle cocked. Hey, Doctor?
What, you mean he's planning to murder the two of you?
I wouldn't be a bit surprised. I don't suppose there's anything you could do to stop the process now.
No, it's too late. The chamber's in transition now. Look, hadn't you better get out of here before he kills you?
Well, there's no point in running. If Mr. James's theory is right, we've both been dead for 85 million years. We might as well wait and see what happens.
Transition point coming up.
Well, it's been quite a world up to this point. Hey, Roger?
Yes, quite.
Here it goes.
Reggie, are you all right?
I seem to be. What happened?
The time chamber. It's back. We'd better get it open.
Good Lord, look at that.
Ghastly, isn't it? Where did it come from?
I'm not sure. But I rather think it came from the Middle Cretaceous era. It wasn't here a moment ago.
Ghastly mess. Looks as if every bone was pulverized and every blood vessel burst.
I dare say. But that's his gun, all right. It's James, there's no doubt of it. So, that's the story, Mr. Seligman. Of course, I don't understand the mathematics, but the idea's rather easy to grasp. Nobody had shot us when we first emerged on the 24th of April, 85 million BC. And so, of course, that couldn't be changed. The instant James started to do anything that would make a paradox, the space-time forces snapped him forward and ripped him to bits. Well, they know a good deal about that now, and there's a safety margin of 500 years between each trip. You can't have paradoxes, you know. It just isn't done. And you see, I'm a lot more careful now. I shouldn't have taken James when I knew what a spoiled, unstable sort he was. Or Holtzinger either, when I saw that he was too small to shoot a dinosaur gun. With a heavier gun, he'd probably have knocked the Tyrannosaur down and saved his own life. So, Mr. Seligman, that's why I won't take you to that period to hunt. I'm sorry, but you're just too light. You're not big enough to handle a gun for dinosaur.
You have just heard X-1, presented by the National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, which this month features the story of a man who develops a spaceship that travels so fast that its pilots vanish mysteriously into thin air. Read the Vaughn Shelton story, Point of Departure, in Galaxy Magazine, on your newsstand now. Tonight, by transcription, X-1 has brought you A Gun for Dinosaur, a story from the pages of Galaxy, written by L. Sprague de Camp, patent consultant and one of our leading authors of science fiction. It was adapted for radio by Ernest Kenoy. Featured in the cast were Alastair Duncan, Wendell Holmes, John Gibson, Donald Buca, Warren Parker, and Alan Hewitt. Your announcer, Fred Collins. X-1 was directed by Daniel Sutter and is an NBC Radio Network production.
Forgotten Geek on WGXC continues. We just heard X-1, A Gun for Dinosaur, based on an L. Sprague de Camp stories and originally aired in 1956. Now we go in a more horror direction for the second half, originally airing on August 24th, 1943. Here's Lights Out with Sub-Basement Going Down.
Supernatural and the supernormal, dramatizing the fantasies and the mysteries of the unknown. We tell you this frankly, so if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginative plays, we urge you calmly but sincerely to turn off your radio now.
This is Arch Obler. Tonight is a story that's happening because a very long time ago I found myself in the sub-basement of a huge department store, a strange subterranean world of half-lights and half-darknesses. So, to you who thrill to whatever might be beneath the earth, I bring you a tale of sub-basement. After a brief word from Ironized Yeast, Frank Martin.
Do you feel droopy these days? Tired out oftener than you ought to be? Losing too much weight, perhaps? Well, if, as may be true of many people nowadays, you simply aren't getting enough vitamin B1 and iron from your food, if that's what's to blame, cheer up. Because ironized yeast tablets give you both vital substances in easy-to-take tablet form at a cost of but a few pennies a day. Men and women by the scores and hundreds who used to suffer from these deficiencies now thank the two-way help of ironized yeast tablets for glorious pep and strength and needed pounds regained. They tell how today they can really enjoy life again. That's right. They're thanking ironized yeast tablets. And now?
Light out, everybody.
But of course I can run an elevator.
I was just asking.
And I told you. Well, here we are. All right. All right, are you getting out?
I suppose so.
Suppose so. For 10 years, that's all I've heard. Where do you work? What do you do? Why don't you let me see you?
Don't get angry.
Oh, I'm not angry. I'm just telling you. Come on, this way. You don't know the half of it. Like a whole city down here.
Person goes to a department store and...
Suppose so. For 10 years, that's all I've heard. Where do you work? What do you do? Why don't you let me see
you? Don't get angry.
Oh, I'm not angry. I'm just telling you. Come on, this way.
That's a big basement.
You don't know the half of it. Like a whole city down here.
Person goes to a department store and doesn't know all this is underneath.
Say that again.
And you're in charge of everything down here?
That's another fact. Here. Look at these.
What are they? Furniture?
Oil burning. Heats and air conditions, the whole building up above. 20 stories.
But where is everybody?
Nothing but a watchman at this hour of the night. Everything's shut down.
Help!
What's the matter with you?
Nothing.
What did you do that for?
Oh, I just wanted to hear my voice. It's like a big cave down here.
Yelling out like that. Won't you ever grow up?
Don't be angry on me.
All right, come on.
Yes, Johnny.
Come on, in here.
Another elevator?
Well, you want to see everything, don't you?
Yes, I do. Down? Some more?
Yeah. All right.
Another basement.
Yeah. Go ahead. Plenty of light to see behind.
What's down here?
Come on over here. I'll show you. There, in the wall.
Is it a tunnel?
That's what it is.
But a tunnel down here?
See those tracks?
Yeah. Where do they go?
How do you think all the merchandise is brought to all the stores here in the business section? Tunnel system, that's how. Right under the city streets.
I had no idea.
Mighty few people have. Trains run on those tracks, bring the stuff right in.
Trains? Oh, Arnie.
You think all I've got to do is make jokes? You think the only kind of a train's a big one?
Well, I just don't know.
These are little ones. They run on electric batteries, just like they have down in the mines. Come on, I'll show you.
Where?
In the tunnel.
But it's so dark.
There are lights every little ways. Come on.
I don't think so.
What's the matter with you?
I'm afraid.
Oh, for John's sake. For years you've pestered me and pestered me to see. You come along, Emma, you understand?
All right. Arnie, this is fine now.
Oh, for John's sake, what's the matter with you now?
I don't know.
Come on, there's one of the little engines parked down at the end of the tunnel. We might as well see it. I'll keep walking.
I think I'd like
down
to go
this way. You'll see the train.
Yes, but Arnie, the lights. Arnie, where are you?
Right here.
What's the matter?
Matter?
Oh, why are you standing so close to me?
I'm your husband.
Arnie, don't be silly.
Emma, I'm going to tell you something.
Arnie, what's the matter with
you? Listen to me for the last time.
Last time? Arnie, what's the matter with you?
You know that you can't get out of here?
What?
You can't get out of here.
Arnie, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Oh, Arnie. You haven't made a joke like that in years. The last time you tried to scare me was right after we were married. Remember? With that fur piece you made off was a dead animal that had gotten in the bedroom. You remember?
I remember. Come along further, Emma.
Oh. As long as I know what you're up to, I don't mind. How far are we going?
A long way.
All right, Arnie. Anything you say.
Don't I know it? All right.
All right, what?
This is as far as we're going.
Oh. I feel funny. I've never been under the ground so far in so long. It was very nice of you, Arnie, to take me down here. It's so interesting. Very nice of you. Arnie, why don't you say something? Honey, is something the matter? Arnie, really, you can't frighten me. Not now, you know. Honey, are we waiting for someone? If we are, I think I hear him.
Hear him?
Well, yes, don't you?
No.
But I heard someone.
I tell you, there's no one down here.
All right. All right, if you say so, Arnie.
If I say so. Can't you say something else but that even now?
Now?
Yes. Irma, I'm going...
There, I heard it again.
What?
Are there trains running this late at night?
Train?
If it's the train, we ought to get out of here. Tunnel's so narrow, Arnie, please.
Shut up. Let me listen.
Yeah?
Will you shut up? Who's there? Who's there?
Isn't there supposed to be anyone?
Oh, of course not. I saw to it. Is that you? Is that you, Tom?
Who's Tom?
Tom, are you down here?
One of the watchmen?
I told him I'd pull his boxes tonight. I told him. Tom! Hey, Tom!
What's wrong?
Tom, what's the matter with you? Come on out here. Do you hear me? Come out right away or I'm firing you. Tom!
Is he playing jokes, too?
That fool, I'll break his neck if my hands on that.
No, Arnie, don't leave me. Arnie, where did you go? Arnie, it's so dark, the tunnel. Arnie, where are you? Arnold, was that you? Arnold, it is you. Did you cry out? What?
Stay back.
You. That man. Who?
From what's left of his face, I think it's Tom.
What? What happened? The train ran over him? Arnold Anthony, was it?
Train? No. Something's torn out his throat. Come on. Gotta get out of here.
Oh, yes.
Something down here.
Arnie, wait. I can't go so fast.
Police, I'll get the police.
Please, Arnie, wait for me. Arnie, what's that? Arnie, why are you just standing here? Why don't you open the door?
Door wasn't closed before.
Well, open it.
It won't open. All right. We'll be there in a minute.
But are you sure?
I tell you, it's an emergency exit. It's always kept open.
Why was that door open?
Stop asking me that. I don't know.
And that watchman?
Stop talking, will you? I don't know anything.
Honey, why did you stop talking? And why stop? You said the emergency exit.
That's it.
What?
Behind those timbers. It's blocked off. You understand? It's blocked off.
Well, what do we do? We can't just stand here. Arnold, that man was killed. There's someone down here, I'm afraid. Oh, Arnold, get me out of here.
Oh, wait a minute. I gotta think. Now, whoever killed Tom, not down here necessarily.
You don't think so?
Well, why should he be? There's nothing to steal down here. Tom is always borrowing money from people. Somebody he didn't pay back. Yeah, that's it.
But the doors.
Oh, well, he got out and closed the doors. What of it? We can get out. Come on.
Where?
I told you these tunnels lead to the buildings all over the business section. Follow the tunnel to the next sub-basement, to the next building. We'll get out, that's all.
Honey, don't get too far ahead of me this time.
Oh, just walk back, will you?
Yes. Oh, honey, I look forward so very much to tonight. It had been so long since you'd even thought about me. I knew that. And tonight, when you called me up and told me to meet you here, and then when you started to play those crazy, scary jokes before, even then I
Irma, you see it too?
Hold on to me. If you hold my hand tight, Come.
Get over there.
Come on. I'll help you.
Take it easy, will you?
That's it. We're getting there. Back here. There.
Oh. Now, help me down.
Yes. Easy. Here you are. God. Oh, honey. There. Oh. 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 We'll be all right.
Can you see it?
No. No, it's gone. Oh. Just don't try to think about it, Arnie.
What was it? Emma, you hear me? What was it? You went to school. You studied things like that. That thing. What was it? Irma, didn't you hear me?
Yes. I heard you.
What was it? What was it? Was it a lizard? Yes. Some kind of a lizard. That's it. A lizard.
Some kind of a lizard.
Oh, why do you say it that way?
I saw it good, Arnie.
Well?
In school. One of the books, there was an animal like that.
How did it get down here? Lizard that big?
Oh, no, you don't understand. Geology book. The thing wasn't a lizard, exactly.
Huh?
It was a dinosaur.
Are you crazy?
No. I'm telling you what I saw. It sort of sat up on its hind feet. Just like the picture in the book.
What are you trying to do? Make me crazy, too? Why, those things died millions of years ago.
Arnie, look.
Huh?
Way down the tunnel. By the light. It is a dinosaur.
But don't move.
Arnie, it is a dinosaur. Has it gone away?
I don't know.
It's been so long.
Okay. Just don't move.
It just looked at us.
Yeah.
Why doesn't it come after us? Why?
Maybe it didn't see us.
What?
Well, it was like something that had been in the dark for a long, long time.
Yes.
Don't move around.
Oh, there's a little room back here.
Oh, would you rather go out there?
Oh, don't be angry with me, Arnie.
Angry? Why should I be angry? Emma, you went to school. You studied those things. You called it a
dinosaur.
Yeah. All these hours, I've been thinking. How could a thing like that, which was supposed to have passed out of the world so many years ago, how could it be alive now?
I don't know.
Emma, listen, I know. This tunnel under the business district, they were putting on an extension, blasting in the rock. Maybe that thing came out from inside the earth.
Maybe.
You're not frightened, are you?
No.
Why not?
Because I'm with you.
If it came back, what could I do for you?
It's just being with you.
Yeah.
I keep thinking.
And what?
That poor watchman.
Yeah, it'll really be something when it's morning and everyone finds out about it.
What do you think they'll do?
They'll hunt it down. The police will get it soon enough.
Arnold.
Yeah?
Arnold, what if it won't be here then?
Huh?
It's been hours since we last saw it standing down there. What if it's gone back where it came from?
It's all right with me.
But what if they're not...
They'll hunt it down. They'll find it.
Arnold, what's that?
It's all right. Everything's all right.
But what was...
6 o'clock. That was the bell back in the basement. The day engineer turned off one of the sprinkler alarms.
Oh. Oh, honey. Come on. Come on, I'll help killed.
Wait.
But you said it was...
Look. Over there. Back. It's back.
Help. Help.
Don't.
Help.
Don't. He's looking right at us.
Oh.
Well, they didn't hear us, but it did. It's starting this way.
Oh,
my leg.
Honey.
Oh, how slowly it's moving. As if it... As if it can hardly see. That's it, Emma, that's it.
What?
It's blind. That thing is blind. It's lived under the earth so long it can't see.
But it's still coming this way. Oh, honey, come on.
I can't.
Hold on to me.
Let me alone. Go ahead.
No, try. I'll carry
you. You can't carry me.
I will.
Go ahead, Emma. Go ahead, I tell you.
I won't.
Go on. Don't stay here, I tell you. Go on.
Honey, please listen to me.
You stay here with me. I wanted to kill you tonight, you hear me? I brought you down here to kill you.
Oh, Arnie, no, you're only saying
that. I'm telling you the truth. I brought you down here to kill you.
No, Arnie, I'll stay with you.
Listen to me. I brought you down here to kill you. Now, that's the truth. Look at me and believe it, because it's the truth.
That's why you...
That's why I suddenly got so wonderful. I'm sick and tired of you. I'm sick and tired of living. So I brought you down here to kill you and then kill myself.
Arnie...
Look at it out there. It's feeling its way along. Well, he'll take care of me, but you've got to get out of here, Irma.
No.
You've got to get out. I deserve to die, but Irma, not you. You're so blasted good. I guess that's why I got tired of you. That's no reason for you to die. Irma, stop looking at me like that. You've got to get out. Run straight down the tunnel. Keep running and you'll get away. Irma, just don't look at me. Get going.
No, Arnold.
Why don't you say what you've always said to me all these years? Just as you say, Arnie, just as you say. Oh, Irma, will you get out of here?
How slowly it moves.
Irma!
It is blind.
Bless you, look, will you listen to me? Will you go? You've got to go, or they'll think I've killed you.
No, they won't, they
yes,
won't.
Yes, they will. I left a note back home to the police. I told them I had killed you. If that thing kills you and me, they'll still think I was the one who did it. Now, do you want me to be a murderer? Do you want that?
You left a note?
Yes, yes. Don't you remember I turned back after you went out the door on the dining room table? Irma, get out of here and get that note. Don't make them think I killed you and I didn't. And I don't want to. You're such a good... You're too good for me. And I was tired and I was crazy. Don't make me a murderer, Irma.
Arnie. Goodbye.
Goodbye? Yes, Irma. Yes, hurry. Run fast. Straight ahead. He won't get you, I promise.
Arnie.
Go. All right. You blind thing, you.
Here I am. Here. I'm not scared. Come and get me.
That was Sub-Basement Going Down from Lights Out, originally airing in 1943. Thanks for listening. I'll be back in two Tuesdays with the second half of One Hitters 1970. Till then, have a good day and stay safe.
Does a message get to you? Night.